well-known passage from Luke. Luke 19. And we read from verses 28 to 40. Luke 19, 28 to 40. When he had said this, he went on ahead, going up to Jerusalem. And it came to pass, when he drew near to Bethphage and Bethany, at the mountain called Olivet, that he sent two of his disciples, saying, Go into the village opposite you, where as you enter, you will find a colt tied, on which no one has ever sat. Loose it and bring it here. And if anyone asks you, Why are you losing it? Thus you shall say to him, Because the Lord has need of it. So those who were sent went their way and found it, just as he had said to them. But as they were losing the colt, the owners of it said to them, Why are you losing the colt? And they said, The Lord has need of him. Then they brought him to Jesus, and they threw their own clothes on the colt, and they set Jesus on him. And as he went, many spread their clothes on the road. Then, as he was now drawing near the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works they had seen, saying, Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest. And some of the Pharisees called to him from the crowd, Teacher, rebuke your disciples. But he answered and said to them, I tell you that if these should keep silent, the stones would immediately cry out. So it's a well-known passage. So Jesus rode in triumph to Jerusalem on a colt. Why such an animal as this? Why not a camel or a war horse? There are several reasons for this. One was that his kingdom was not of this world. But the other reason, interestingly, is recorded in Exodus. And I'll read that. It's in Exodus 34, 20. It says, But the firstborn of a donkey you shall redeem with a lamb. And if you will not redeem him, then you shall break his neck. All the firstborn of your sons you shall redeem, and none shall appear before me empty-handed. The firstborn son of a man had to be redeemed. So did the firstborn of a donkey. In both cases, a lamb had to be slain. In the case of the colt, if the owner was not prepared to redeem the creature, he had to break its neck. Now carry that truth over to the story of this colt, and it becomes an object lesson for all. It symbolizes man in all his need of the one, the true Lamb of God, who can redeem him and bring his wayward spirit to harness. The lowly donkey is mentioned over 140 times in the scriptures. The first mention, of course, is in Genesis in connection with Abraham. He was told by God to go to Moriah to offer up his well-beloved son. And he immediately saddled his donkey and prepared for the journey. Then there was the Good Samaritan's donkey. How about Balaam's donkey? The donkey taught him some lesson. But the donkey that leads the list is the one that is mentioned here in the Gospels. the one which helped the Lord Jesus fulfill the ancient prophecy in Zechariah 9:9. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming. He is just and having salvation, lowly and riding on a donkey, a colt, the foal of a donkey. So here in Luke 19, Jesus sends two of his disciples on a mission. Who were these two? We are not told. It is likely that it was John and Peter, since they were the two whom Jesus sent to prepare the upper room. If it was Peter, did he complain on his way that he was given this mission to find a lowly donkey? We don't know. They were instructed to get this colt. This was a special colt, so we'll name him Bo. Bo the colt. He was a special colt. The Lord knew all about this colt. He knew its owner. He knew how old this colt was. He knew that it has never been broken to the saddle. He knew it was tied to a post to restrain it, to keep it restrained. He knew that the disciples would be challenged when they went out there to loosen the colt. But he also knew that it would be readily available for him. Just mention the master has need of it. That's what he told the disciples. That was sufficient. His name was security enough for any loan. Now there are three things worth noting about this colt, about Bo. Okay. First, it had to be redeemed. Look at verse 30. It says, go into the village opposite you, whereas as you enter, you will find a colt tied on which no one has ever sat. The law of Moses pronounced the donkey an unclean animal. It did not chew the cud, and it did not have a cloven hoof. So it was doubly cursed, inside and out. It was declared to be unclean. But the law demanded that any firstborn donkey should be put to death. But the law also made provision for this condemned animal. It could be redeemed. A lamb could die in its stead. It could live because a substitute had taken its place and died. The application is to us. We were born unclean, condemned by God's law, and sentenced to death. A lamb, the Lord Jesus Christ, has died so that we might go free. Like that donkey, we needed to be redeemed. How grateful we should be for the Lord of glory who took our place and died in our stead. His precious blood was shed for us. He gave his life for us. So it had to be redeemed. But it also needed to be released. And it says, you will find a colt tied on which no one has ever sat. Jesus told his disciples, loose it and bring it here. It had life, thanks to the lamb, but it did not have liberty. It was still in bondage. The colt may have stood alongside and just looked at other animals. They were freely roaming around. The grass on the hills looked so green. The brook down the hill looked so refreshing. But he couldn't do anything. He was tied to a post. But it was set free by the word of Christ and by the means of his authority. Again, the application is to us. Many of us have new life in Christ, but are still in bondage. to old habits and sins. The word tithe is mentioned by Luke here a few times. And why did he mention it so many times? There's an insight here. We are often tied down like the colt to many things. We are tied to fear. We are tied to anxiety. We are tied to concerns, worries, and many other things, guilt. As Christians, we need to be untied from what weighs us down. So the Lord says, "Loose him and bring him to me." How grateful that little colt must have been when the Lord's disciples untied the knots and bound him to that post, He kicked up his heels. He was free. So it had to be redeemed. It has to be released. But there was something else. It had to be ruled. This was a colt upon which no one has ever sat. It was an unbroken colt, full of pride and rebellion and self-will. But the Lord had not set it free to please itself, but to serve him. Look what he says. "Bring him to me," he said. Then a wonderful thing happened. The master enthroned himself upon him as Lord of life. All rebellion fled. All fear vanished. The colt was transformed from a wild, untamed creature to an obedient, submissive instrument of the Master's will. It was under his authority. The disciples cast their garments upon the colt, and they sat Jesus thereon. It surrendered to his will. It went where he wanted to go and did what he wanted to do. Its one duty was now to lift up the Lord Jesus. And so it did. As a result, the people saw Christ and shouted his praise. All eyes were on Jesus, not the donkey. And that, of course, is the way it should be. It is a marvelous snapshot of the Christian life. Now note here, Christ's ability to ride an unbroken colt through a widely cheering crowd is yet another evidence of his deity and mastery over all of nature. We know how difficult it is to saddle an unbroken colt, but not Bo. This was a special one. It instantly owned Jesus as its Lord. How about us? We have been redeemed. We have been released from bondage. Are we now living a life that is pleasing to our Master? Are we lifting up our Savior as this lowly creature did for the world to see? If not, may God enable us to do that. And look at that statement in verse 34. It says, "The Lord hath need of him." And that is an amazing statement. When did God ever have need of anything? You know, he owned all things, yet he possessed nothing. He created the stars, yet he had nowhere to lay his own head. He fashioned everything out of nothing, yet he had to borrow a boat to preach a gospel message. He created every drop of water that exists in the world, yet he cried, "I thirst," as he was dying on the cross. He created every tree, but he died on a borrowed cross. He created every rock, but he had to borrow a tomb in which to be buried. He used the clouds as his chariots, yet he had to borrow a colt on which to ride. That is how our Lord lived his life on this earth. As Paul says in 2 Corinthians, "For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that you through his poverty might become rich." in a parallel verse in Mark, we have the same story in all the Gospels. But I like this in Mark chapter 11, and I'll read it. You don't have to turn it. It says, "The Lord hath need of him, and straightway he will send him hither." Means the Lord will send the colt right back as soon as he's finished with him. In other words, Jesus tells his two disciples to tell the owner of the colt that he will return that property as soon as he's through with it. And when that colt comes back, it was better than when it first left. When it left, it was unbroken, untried. But when it came back, it was ready for the saddle. That's just what the Lord does, right? He takes what we gave him, and when he gives it back, it is far better than than how he got it. Take the case of Abraham. He was a lost pagan. When God changed him, he became Abraham, a mighty man of faith. You give him your Jacob, a schemer, a deceiver, a trickster, he will give back an Israel, a prince of God. Give him your Saul of Tarsus, a mean, cruel man, and he will give you back a Paul, a mighty apostle of God. Give him your Simon, a weak, indecisive man, he will give you back a Peter, rock for Jesus. When we give him our broken, skin-scarred life, he will give us back a new life and a home in heaven. I had a song in mind, but it's not in our either of the books. But when you get time, maybe you could look it up. Okay? Channels only, I guess everybody knows that. But it's a perfect song for this message. And verse 1 and 3 goes like this. "How I praise thee, precious Savior, that thy love laid hold of me. Thou hast saved and cleansed and filled me, that I might thy channel be. Channels only, blessed Master, but with all thy wondrous power. Flowing through us, thou canst use us every day and every hour. Witnessing thy power to save me, setting free from self and sin, thou who brought us to possess me in thy fullness, Lord, come in." I'll stop here. May his name be glorified. Let's pray. Eternal God, Heavenly Father, we thank thee for this blessed time thou hast given us. Thank thee for this marvelous opportunity that thou hast given us this morning to worship you in truth and in spirit. Thank you, Father, for redeeming us, releasing us from the power of sin, and making us yours. Help us to live lives which are pleasing to thee. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.